Good morning. Welcome you to our worship service today. By way of announcements that we did not get in the bulletin, there will be a meeting of the parish council and the deacons on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and that will be downstairs. Also, would encourage you to look both this week and next week. There will be an insert in your bulletin about the America for Christ offering. This is an offering we take up every year around this time. It goes to support the work of both the national denomination as well as our region. And we have found in recent days that we've needed the help of our region in ways we've not needed in many years. And so that's a reminder to us that we are part of the larger American Baptist family. And so you'll read the different things in there. And I would encourage you, as always, and I've done this before, and I don't know if anybody does this or not, you can always go to abc-usa.org and find out all sorts of things about our denomination. There are many different links on there that will tell you about our work, both in this country as well as around the world. There are other announcements not in the bulletin that we need to make. Pay attention to Liz. Okay, check the bulletin board for fellowship time. I believe Beth is going to talk to us about food.
I had the nicest visit with Pastor Tim this week. He surprised me and stopped at Family Promise House. And thanks to Larry and his merry band of deacons, they awarded us a brand new in-the-box sweeper. So I'd like to say thank you to the church and to the deacons for providing a new sweeper. Family Promise House is the only homeless shelter in Delaware County, and we house only families, so we're loving, guarding, and protecting many children. One in five children are homeless in the world, so we do indeed fill a need. And it's kind of like a hotel sometimes, so we definitely needed a heavy-duty sweeper, so I thank you for that. And on that note, be thinking about April 29th. That's a Tuesday evening. It's our fourth annual Italian dinner to benefit Family Promise. It's $10 a ticket. I'll be having those with me every week up until then. The cool thing about it is you can either come and eat there and there's a silent auction, or you can get carry out. So if you've worked hard that day, you can just go through and take it home. So, what? It'll be held at St. Mary's, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Archie. Any other announcements? Then let us pause and give thanks to the Lord for the choice He has given us to be here for worship on this day.
Join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Come, all who need help. Come, all who desire blessing. Come, all who long for salvation. Let us join together in our hymn of praise in the Black Book, number 2271. Come, come, everybody worship. Please pray with me. Dear God, spring is a metaphor for change. Some changes we eagerly await, and some we abhor. Some changes we plan, and others arrive uninvited. To all these changes, we ask the gift of your perspective beckoning us to expectation, hope, and rebirth. May the sunlight and the rain be reminders that you are at work renewing the earth. As a God of renewal, you are ever at work in our lives too. Open our eyes and lives to the needed changes in our lives this spring. Awaken us to new life and perspective. For we pray this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning we have a reading from the Psalm 121, which is one of my personal favorites. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thanks be to God. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We dedicate this money, Lord, for the work of the church, and we ask you to use all that we have and are in your service. Amen.
right, boys and girls? I applaud your energy. May I sit here between you? Good morning. I missed all of you last week. Did you notice I was gone? No, you weren't here, were you? How about you? You missed me, right? Thank you very much. You always know the right answer. I don't know if you go home afterwards and go, did he really expect me to get that wrong? Nah, you don't. Because you know I would never trick you on purpose. Well, today we're going to do one of the best Bible stories in the whole Bible. One of the very best. And it's about a fellow named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was high up in the church world at the time, I put him that way. And he came to see Jesus one night, and he was asking questions about what was going on. And then Jesus told him these words that, if you didn't know anything else in the whole Bible, you should know this. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to tell them that He loved them. If you love somebody, what does that mean you want for them? Do you want good things to happen to them or bad things? You only want good things. Now, sometimes to get good things, you have to be reminded of what the bad things are and not to do that. And different people would tell you different things. When I was your age, if I had run down the middle of the sanctuary, I would have gotten spoken to later. But I look at it that you're so excited to get up here and to learn about God that that's a good thing. Now, you might want to think about exiting in an orderly fashion, like we used to talk about doing. But I'm glad for your energy, and I want you to know that not only God loves you, who else loves you that's in this room today? Your parents love you, of course. What about all these other people out here? Your grandparents, of course. There's not a person out here that if they saw you out and about in town and you needed help, that they wouldn't stop to help you, is it, Arthur? Sure they would help you. Your church family loves you. Now, let me tell you something that I learned when I was much younger. Sometimes when your church family loves you, it means if they see you doing something out in public, they might go tell your mother about it. And you don't always understand that to be love at the time, but they only want the best for you. So whenever I'm out and about in town, and if I see you around, I will always want to know that you're doing the right thing, won't I? Because you're not only do you represent your family, but you also represent the family of God when you're out there. As do I. So I'm going to let you stand now, and I'll send you back on your way after we have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the life that you give us. We thank you for energy, but most of all, we thank you for the love that you show us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we offer this prayer in His name. Amen. As we come to this time where we share our joys and concerns, let me tell you how much we appreciate the cards and messages we received. Some while we were still in Georgia, those who found my mother's obituary on the internet and left word there. We're very grateful for that. We were fortunate that both of our sons were able to get there, and fortunate that Lindley was able to handle all the travel arrangements for us and get us as reasonable a deal as you can get last minute like that. So thank you for your support. We were able to get to Georgia before my mother passed. She was near the end when we got there, and Sam did the funeral, and I think I can say without fear of rebuke that he did a wonderful job. He learned a lot at the First Baptist Church, and I was happy to have an American Baptist funeral in the heart of the South. My brother didn't exactly understand that, but nonetheless, I prevailed. Other joys and concerns to share.
I know some of you were in prayer for me last week. I have a test that I have to have every couple years. It's just a precautionary thing. I don't anticipate there will be anything that will come of that, but it is a long test that is uncomfortable and unpleasant, and I do get worked up a bit about it. It got postponed till tomorrow, so I've had a whole nother week to be excited about this. So I'd ask for prayers for a good outcome for one thing, but also that I can stay calm and stay still so that nothing has to be repeated. And then also I have a friend who has an unspoken concern. She's not quite ready to share it yet. I would ask you to lift her up. And also for all of us that maybe have things we're holding in our hearts that we aren't quite ready to share, all those unspoken prayers as well.
I just wanted to say I'm happy that I'm now able to drive and come back to church. It's weird that to stay at home after 6 weeks, and the doctor finally says, you can get behind the wheel of your car. And I want to thank everybody here who took me to doctor's appointment and therapy and picked up groceries and prescriptions. Thank you all. Many of you remember Jimmy's brother Dale and his family who were here for Jimmy's memorial service. Dale's daughter Debbie is a single gal who has no children, but she has two cats. And this may sound trivial, but she lost one of her cats this week, and she is devastated. It's like one of us losing a child. And she is just brokenhearted and sad and crying, and I told her that I would ask for prayer for her solace.
Anyone else?
I'd like a prayer for my sister Barbara, who's going through some problems with kidney stones and so forth tomorrow. Thank you.
Lord, as we come into your presence for prayer, we are reminded of how much we depend not only upon you, but upon one another in time of need. We are reminded that sometimes simply the anticipation of what we're facing can cause us to have so much uncertainty and fear. We pray for Liz, especially tonight, as she anticipates this test tomorrow. We lift up Debbie. We are reminded, at least those of us who know and have loved pets, how very devastating it can be to lose one. And we pray that you might comfort her in a way that only you can. Help us to know what it means to be able to lift up in prayer those concerns that we are not able or not ready to share publicly. Help us to know that when we come before you in worship with one another, that there's still all sorts of things going on in our hearts and minds, things that we know we'll have to deal with or we expect to have to deal with. And in every case, as we pray for those who are sometimes unknown to us, we are reminded that you already know the need. And that if we are able to accept your help and if we are able to seek your presence, we know that oftentimes you are already at work in the face of these circumstances. Lord, in the times of uncertainty and change, remind us that you are unchanging and that your care for us is constant, your love is unquestioned, and your preparations cannot be ultimately questioned. Help us to know what it means to come before you as a people seeking and accepting forgiveness. Help us to know what it means to bear witness to being the family of God in this place. We offer this prayer and all the prayers of our heart to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We decided to do a different anthem than is printed in the bulletin. We're doing Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Our gospel reading today is found in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And that is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may clearly be seen that their deeds have been done in God." We sometimes lose sight of the fact that we are inheritors of a very long and proud tradition. And one part of that tradition that the larger church has always practiced during the time of Lent is to renew the great confessions of faith. And there is perhaps no greater confession of faith to be found in the Scriptures than that which we find in these verses before us today. "For God so loved his world that he sent his Son that we might be redeemed." Now, this passage takes a little bit different slant than some of the other things about what the work of Christ accomplishes. Because we try to major on the idea that we must first enter into a period of repentance and then we understand something about salvation. But we are reminded in this passage that the whole idea of salvation and being made right standing with God begins with the actions of God. It begins with the action of God. It begins with the heart of God himself, that having created us and having brought us to this point in life where we might understand, then he comes to dwell in our midst so that we might understand something about the nature of God. It is hard sometimes when we come to a passage like this to separate it from the emotional connection that hopefully we have had sometime in our Christian experience. Now, I said hopefully because we all experience the grace of God in different kinds of ways. It's probably no secret to you that having been a preacher for 35 years and an inheritor of a proud tradition, to know that I've probably preached on this scripture before in the past. And as I come to it today and remember reading one of the notes that was in an earlier version of the sermon, I remember quoting Dottie Rambo about, "No tears shall stain the streets of that city." A song that has always had emotional meaning for me, but in the past week would come to me in a different kind of way, because I must tell you that there can be no greater affirmation of faith for the family of God than when you say goodbye to a loved one that you know where you're saying goodbye to them for. You're not just saying, "This is the end, there is no more," but you are saying goodbye with the affirmation of faith that your loved one has gone on to another level of existence. Your loved one has gone on to another place of renewal, another place where they might be not only reunited with loved ones who have gone before, but with the living God Himself. And so the emotional connection for me about reading about God's love is a reminder always of a time where I didn't understand God's love, where I didn't understand what it meant to be a part of the family of God, but an affirmation of faith that even when you wander far from the fountain, in the words of an old gospel hymn from the South, that God is still reaching out, still calling to us, asking us to come into the light, asking us to come into the family, asking us to be a part of the family of God. Sometimes when we read this story and we think about Nicodemus coming at night, we see him in a negative light. We see him as someone who is married to a certain tradition, but has just enough curiosity that he wants to go and talk to this new teacher, but just enough fear of other people that he wants to only come by night. He doesn't want to go out in the daylight. He doesn't want to encounter Jesus in the temple courtyard and say, "Tell me a little bit more about what you're trying to do." But rather than that, we ought to see him as a person who, well-grounded in his own tradition, is still sensitive enough that when he hears these new things that Jesus is talking about, that he wants to go and inquire of him further. And they begin the question about talking about being born from above and being born again and starting over. Words that, as Baptists, we've always embraced that whole born again concept. You're altogether new. But sometimes after we're born again and altogether new, we find that the past still clings to us all so powerfully. We find that being born again and born anew does not mean that you suddenly have a new personality. If you were incendiary before, you're incendiary afterwards. If you were passive before, you're probably passive afterwards. But what you have in that new relationship with God is a new way of standing in the world, a new way of thinking about how the world works. So Nicodemus comes and asks about that, and Jesus, who's not above, kind of jabbing you a little bit. How can it be that you, a teacher of the law, you, someone who ought to know the Scriptures from beginning to end, do not understand that God is doing something altogether new? Do you not understand that the whole born-again stuff is a metaphor? That of God's power coming down from heaven and helping you to see your need and to begin and to say that you must be born of water and born of the Spirit. Now, here's a place where Baptists can get their teeth in this. All those people that use a few drops of water to baptize, how saved could they be? You recognize certainly some irony in the way I talk there. I understand the way they got that. But for us, we understand completely. You go down in the water and you come up. You're born again. You're completely covered. But you also have to, in that same time, be born of the Spirit. Unless God has begun that work in your heart, has begun that work of saying that there's something about your life that is missing, and you need to know where you stand in the universe. Sometimes people get so caught up on that passage, and when I was picking the meditation today, I couldn't find a Buddhist one, but I settled for a Hindu. That whole question of free will and choice and determination and what happens. I believe completely that God desires that every person be saved. But I also believe that the Scripture says to us that the choices we make matter. And that having encountered the story of the living Christ, the Son of God, Jesus who came to show us and sometimes to drag us into the light, if we know that story and we reject it, then we should not be questioning our own rejection of that. We should not be questioning the rejection that might follow. But for us here today, I don't think we would be here if we hadn't already embraced that account. Embraced the idea that the God who created all that is also loved us and came in the person of Jesus Christ to tell us what that meant. The only question left for us then, it becomes, how do we choose to live after that? How do we choose to relate to those around us? How do we choose to valued this great treasure that has been given to us, that we have been redeemed. What do we do with that? Paul says at one place, when thinking about people who don't know the story yet, he says, "How shall they call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent?" And then this part that I always like, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Why in the world would they concentrate on feet? There are so many other elements there to telling that story. But I think what Paul had in mind there was his own journeys everywhere as he walked to and fro sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. We are always given the option of obeying the good news or not. And we should always be reminded that the Scripture also says to us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I recently read a story about Baptists in Florida. Now that's a good place to read about, because there are a lot of Baptists in Florida, also known as Heaven's Waiting Room. And it talked about how well read the Bible was, but somebody went in and did a survey of people who read the Bible and how it influenced how they thought about other things. And they were amazed because they read it, they believed it was true without error, but it didn't affect their thinking hardly at all about many everyday kinds of issues. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but we must allow that Word to come and take hold of us, to become part of us, to become that living Word, so that it has bearing on how we deal with one another and how we share with one another. I grew up in a tradition that said that the very most important task of every Christian was to be an evangelist. But I also grew up in a tradition where almost everybody did not want to hear that, because evangelism is just too important to be left to us. That's why we have preachers and missionaries. They are the evangelists in the world. What does it really mean to be an evangelist in a New Testament sense? One simple thing, that you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. And your story is unique to you. It was born of the time you were born into. It was born of your parents and your grandparents and choices that they had made long time ago. And it was born of your own experience with God. My story is not your story. But as we share our stories with one another, we can give hope to people who sometimes don't have their own story. They don't have their own faith encounters, and sometimes they are simply adrift in the world. And they would so desperately like to hear somebody tell them some good news, because there's plenty of bad news to go on out there. But the news that God so loved His world that He sent His Son that we might be redeemed is good news. We are given the freedom to choose whether we will believe it and obey the implications of it, but it is always good news. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the actions that You have taken that we might be redeemed. We live in a time of skepticism and doubt. We live in a time where some think we don't even need this story anymore. But because of our presence here, we have affirmed that we still believe and we still care. Help us to share that good news with those around us. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn today is number 191. As we leave, I want to encourage you, as always, if the Spirit is moving in your own heart and mind and you want to explore this further, please feel free to talk to me about that. Lord, as we prepare to leave here today, may we be reminded that Your Word is the living Word, and we may have not always been alive to it, but once Your Spirit begins to move in us, let us hear, let us believe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.